To smile again with radio's home folks, Vacan Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vacan Sade, it's brought to you by Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes, with their gentle care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear. Ed, for heaven's sake, what are you wrapping around your head? A white turban?
It may look like a turban, but this, Miss McDonald, is my umama.
Umama? Ooh, Mama, where did you get it?
Well, I was on my vacation. I went to a bazaar, and I admired this thing on a crystal gazer, so he gave it to me.
Sort of went to your head, didn't it? You know what you should do, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Wash my ooh, Mama, in ivory flakes, I suppose.
It would last longer.
You're telling me. Why, friends, nice things last up to twice as long if you give them gentle ivory flakes care.
That's right. Wash tests prove it. Yes, twice the wear.
Sure. Blouses, house coats, slips, sweaters. They were washed time and again in ivory flakes, and they looked practically new.
You'd agree, friends. Why, the blouses were bright, the housecoats fresh-looking, the slips silky, and the sweaters, oh, they looked so cozy and soft.
All because they were washed gently in ivory flakes. Friends, that's how your things will stay, up to twice as long.
But if you wash them the wrong way, with the wrong kind of soap, you can't expect wear like that.
No, sir. More likely the colors will fade and the seams fray.
But ivory flakes. Oh, they're pure. So mild. Why, you know, you ought to use them every night for your rayon stockings, too. Because with nightly care in ivory flakes, rayons fit much better.
And in strain tests that were made, rayon stockings washed in ivory flakes lasted twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap.
Yes, ivory flakes are a blessing. Especially these days when we ought to take good care of our clothes.
Oh, you said it. These days it's tough to get stuff.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Here's another. Lingerie, blouses, housecoats, they're getting hard to replace. So give them gentle ivory flakes care.
You'll get up to twice the wear. Now back to Vic and Save.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 10:30 o'clock in the evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we discover Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook putting things to rights. Because a spirited game of 500 with Ted and Ruthie Stembottom has just been concluded, the guests have departed, and now it's time for bed. Vic sinks to a seat on the davenport, yawns, and remarks,
"Well, my dear sweet sleepy fella, whose eyelids are getting mighty heavy.
Better hop right on up to bed.
Where's Pretty Little Wrestling?
Still over at Rooster's, I suppose.
I thought you had a 10:30 deadline for him.
Is it after 10:30?
Almost a quarter to 11.
Oh, well, he's never more than a few minutes late. I expect they're enjoying themselves over there, and he hates to leave.
What's going on? Party?
Oh, didn't I tell you?
You never tell me anything. You're mean to me. That's why I cry all the time.
At the supper table, we talked about Alan Johnson being back in town.
Who's Alan Johnson?
Russell and I must have spent 5 minutes at the supper table discussing Alan Johnson. Where are your ears?
I left him with my barber. He's going to embroider my initials on him.
Alan Johnson is Fat Johnson.
Oh, of course. His family moved to Quincy.
Sure.
Have they moved back?
Just visiting is all. Fat was here this afternoon.
Heck he was.
Stayed maybe an hour.
Wish I'd seen old Fat.
Yeah, you'll probably run into him before he goes back to Quincy. I believe he said his mother planned on staying the rest of the week.
Fat in pretty good condition, is he?
Looks just grand. Lost a good deal of flesh. And much taller. I believe he's going to turn out to be real handsome.
The world is full of miracles. I'd have bet $850,000 that lad would get to be a big old roly-poly. He had all the symptoms. Double chin, chubby legs, heavy
Listen,
neck.
Listen, here's Mr. Mann. Hi.
Burglars, maybe.
Hello, everybody in the living room, are they?
Lock the door and turn out the lights.
Okay.
Well, the room looks a lot better. Funny how 4 people sitting around playing cards can mess up a place.
Certainly has me a laugh. I get to thinking how funny it is that four people sitting around playing cards mess up a place. And I get to chuckling, and finally I have to lay down in a corner, a choking, quivering lump of helpless hilarity.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Dr. Sleet.
Hello.
Greetings, old pal.
Have a nice time?
Had an excellent time.
Well, we had a nice time ourselves. Beat Mr. and Mrs. Stembottom at 500. Ted brought lovely strawberry ice cream.
Then he left?
Oh, you know how Mr. Stembottom is. There's never any left when he brings ice cream. It bothers him to go away and leave ice cream. Not that he's greedy, especially.
It's just that he likes to finish a job.
Sure.
Ted's a mighty lovable fella. The biggest fathead on earth.
All right. Had a real nice time, huh, Willie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, you saw Fat Johnson this afternoon. What'd you think of him now that he's advanced in years?
I thought he looked grand. All that pudginess has disappeared. Telling Gov, I bet he gets to be a real handsome man.
Uh-huh. It's a queer old world.
Why?
Just is. A mighty queer old world. Oh, well.
What on earth are you talking about?
Nothing at all. Just reflecting on the fact that life continues to go on and on.
The man is stark mad.
The world is stark mad, Gov.
Oh, boy, hot dog, I'll say.
How did Fat enjoy seeing his old friends?
Enjoyed it very much.
I bet. You and Rooster and him were always such close chums.
Yes, we were.
Anybody else over to Davis's besides you three boys?
There were eight of us all together.
Oh, really? Kids?
Oh, I wouldn't say kids. All those present were my age or better.
Well, I expect you and Rooster Davis invited some... Now, Vic, don't drop off to sleep. So hard to get you up. Scoot along to bed.
Let me relax just one dreamy moment.
Listen, if you fall asleep, I'm just going to leave you here.
Agreed.
I mean it.
Sure you do.
Willie, I started to say I expect you and Rooster invited some of your old bunch, from Edward's school?
Well, not exactly from Edward's school. We went further back into ancient history than that, even. We got together eight of the 15 original members of our Blue Light Sunday School class. Remember that?
No.
We called ourselves the Warriors for the Right.
Oh, I believe I do recall the Warriors for the Right.
Uh-huh. That was a way back in the 1930s. Remember those old days?
Just barely. I was a tiny toddling baby at the time.
If you're awake, Vic, stay awake.
I'm wide awake. Look at me, shining and alert, brisk, confident. Dewey, wide-eyed, completely anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Well, keep that way.
The good old 1930s. Days of the long, long ago. Memories come flooding back.
Do they?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Well, who all was there at Rooster's this evening?
Oh, me and Rooster and Fat, of course.
Uh-huh.
Smelly Clark, Mildred Tisdall, Oyster Cracker, Eunice Raypold, and L.W. Trout.
I don't place L.W. Trout.
No, I don't imagine you do.
He was the top before your time, Sage.
Who is L.W. Trout?
A chum of mine from the old days. I knew him very well. Haven't hardly seen him at all in later years, though. I chose to go on with my education. L.W. Trout chose to go on and enter business.
Is he a kid?
I don't imagine he'd like to be called a kid.
Well, is he a man?
He'll soon be 16 years old.
Oh, from the way you talk, I took him to be at least 40.
Well, 40 isn't so far away from 16. When a man lives along from day to day, grappling with life and struggling to stave off the dark
age. What's the matter?
Let's sit out.
You're frightened.
Yes, when a man lives along from day to day, it don't take much time to reach the 40th milestone.
Is this kid's name L.W. Trout?
Of course.
Well, hasn't he got a first name?
Well, when he was in school, we called him Lester. But now that he's out in business, he prefers to be called L.W.
What business is he in?
L.W. Trout.
That's who we're talking about.
Well, L.W. Trout is connected with a candy and magazine trade down at the Chicago Melton Depot. Been in the game for the last couple of years.
Oh, I know him. He's the little boy that works there at the counter.
Yes, I believe L.W. does help out at the counter occasionally.
And Mildred Tisdall was there, you said?
Uh-huh. Looking mighty young and fresh.
Oh, I hope she was looking young and fresh.
Mildred is standing up fine.
Why don't she go sit down?
Vic, waltz along upstairs. It's a terrible job getting you off in that Davenport once you fall asleep.
If I fall asleep on this Davenport, I'll take the consequences.
I'll say you will. You'll stay there.
If I fall asleep on these consequences, I'll take the Davenport.
Not a bad joke, Gov.
Well, he'll think it's a bad joke if he has to come crawling to bed around 4 o'clock in the morning. So, Fat enjoyed seeing his old friends again,
Yes, indeed. Whimpered like a weasel with pleasure. Of course, he was shocked to see the changes in us.
What changes?
Well, don't forget he hasn't seen us in many years.
Oh, many years, my hat. Well, he seems like the other week he used to stand out in the alley and holler for you to come and go to school mornings.
Like many other simple people, Mom, you don't seem to think
that... Hey, who are you calling simple people?
Oh, I mean, lots of human beings forget to keep track of the passage of time.
Don't call me simple people.
Okay, but you grasp my meaning, don't you?
Call me simple people, I'll grasp your ear.
Hmm.
What are some of the terrible changes Fat saw in you kids since he lived here in town?
Many, many changes.
Did he see some changes in you?
Naturally.
What changes did he see?
Well, he noticed these lines here on each side of my mouth.
Where? Show me.
Here and here and here.
Smile lines. You've had them since you were four.
Well, they've deepened through the years.
Bosh.
They've become worry lines.
Oh, bosh, bosh, bosh.
Okay.
What changes did he see in Rooster?
Rooster has stood up surprisingly well. Fat paid Rooster the compliment of telling him he looked as young as he ever did.
Mm-hmm. How about Smelly?
Oh, Smelly's been severely damaged by the ravages of time. He's got two gold teeth in his mouth where the years have eaten them away. And then there's his beard.
Smelly got a beard?
Oh, not a beard exactly. But if he went very long without shaving it, you'd sure notice. Why, Mom, that man shaves every fifth Sunday.
Oh, really?
Carries his razor in his hip pocket where it'll be handy at all times. He showed it to us tonight.
My, my.
Oh, I had an excellent time tonight and all that, but there's a certain sadness in watching your cronies grow old.
Oh, boy, I'll say.
Of course, it's something we all got to go through. No getting around that. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yes.
The rose blooms and slowly fades.
That's right.
The hatchet gradually loses its sharp edge.
Yeah.
The fountain's gush eventually ceases, and the song of the birds at last is stilled.
Mm-hmm.
No help for it, I guess.
No help.
Gov is asleep now.
Mm-hmm. Been asleep for the last 5 minutes.
Shall I get him up off the damport?
Guess you better.
Come on, Gov.
Willie, baby.
Yeah?
Get me up off the damport, too. I feel like somebody's great-great-grandmother.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Well, it looks as though the war is going our way at last. On all fronts, we're attacking strongly. For months, our generals and admirals have planned every detail of these attacks. And while our generals planned, our young men trained, our factories hummed. The preliminary work has been enormous. And yet, victory still depends on our supply lines, the ships of the Merchant Marine. But the Merchant Marine is short of experienced men. Engineers, mates, cooks, bakers, radio telegraphers, and able-bodied seamen are desperately needed. We're training men for those jobs, but no amount of training is a substitute for experience. Without many more experienced seamen, the war could still be lost. All the months of tedious planning, of grueling GI training, the vast production of equipment, all will be useless unless the Merchant Marine can keep its ship sailing. If you're an experienced seaman, please send a collect telegram or a postcard to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C., today. Give your name, address, rating, and when you'll be available. You're badly needed now to carry supplies to Europe. You'll be needed later to carry supplies across the Pacific.
Again tomorrow, join in the fun with Vic and Sade. Same time, same station. This is Ed Herlihy.
And Margaret MacDonald.
Saying good day for Ivory Flakes.
Your grocer is short of paper bags. Help him save paper by taking your own shopping bag to the store.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.